Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women of Wisdom, everyone. Today, I am lucky enough to have Rachel with me on the other line, and we're going to talk about something really interesting to me, and that is women in film in general. I thought she was going to talk about the independent film industry, but apparently we're going to talk about women in film in general, and I'm super excited, and I'm going to ask her a question that may throw her for a loop, but I'm going to see what she comes up with as an answer. So let me grab Rochelle, and I will bring her on, and then we'll have a nice women's conversation. Good afternoon.
Hi.
Hi.
So great to be here.
Nice to have you. Now, my first question, and normally I don't ask this type of question, but me being a disabled woman who watches films, who hasn't done necessarily a movie script per se, but I have done book scripts per se for my book, which have to do with disabilities. Do you think that people should start playing disabled actors in movies? I mean, how do you feel about that?
I feel that that's a very interesting question. I think that there's, like, it shouldn't matter. If somebody is aspiring to be an actor, then they should go for it, whether they're disabled or whatever the situation is. And then whether or not a role calls for somebody to be disabled, that could be a disabled actor who plays it or somebody who's not disabled. I think that what I would really like to see in films is that there are stories told where it's not about the person being disabled. So that, for example, if there is a scene in a coffee shop or, you know, a romantic scene or any sort of scene, that it's not necessarily about the person being disabled. It's just the person happens to be disabled. And then so that could be actor.
I like that point of view. So that could be a bone-bodied actor, but people ask me all the time, and I just, I have got twice now approached to have my book turned into movies twice.
Oh, wow.
Now. And once was today, and then once a couple months ago, and the one a couple months ago was doing the independent film. This one would cost a little bit of money to do, and but the one independently wouldn't cost me a thing. They would go raise all the funds and do it all that. And so people ask me all the time, how do I feel about it? And so for me, I would like to see a disabled actor play a disabled person. But for me, I'm being biased, and it's hard for me to understand it's hard for people to understand my point of view, because there's so many women out there who want to be a star in a role, and of course, if you're really good at it, you can get the starring role. Other than that, you can't get the starring role. So for us, that means we would have to be put behind the scenes a little bit. And that being said, for those people who want to be put behind the scenes, do you think that's a good idea, or do you not think that's a good idea?
So I'm sorry, just to clarify, that you're saying people to work behind the scenes who are disabled, is that a good idea? Is that your question?
Yes, basically.
Yeah, of
basically,
course. Why that just makes total sense to me.
Is that a good place to start for a woman who wants to be in the film industry? I mean, you can't obviously, or maybe you can if you go to film school, you can't obviously graduate college and then work in the acting field unless you have the previous knowledge. Or maybe you can. I don't know.
I would disagree. I think that if somebody wants to be an actress or actor, they need to study their craft. Now, of course, school is great, and that is one route, but that's not the only route. There are a lot of ways it's an art, so there's a lot of way to work on your art. Now, there is definitely a business side to it, and that is something that if you're going to be a professional actor, disabled or not, that you need to study the business of it. Absolutely. Now, whether or not you need to start behind the scenes in order to get that experience, I think in general, I disagree with that. I think that you can spend a lot of time being a producer's assistant and doing different things, and that's its own job. And like perhaps getting some experience on set doing background work, for sure, just to get the feel of what it's like to be on set. But the behind the scenes, those are different jobs than the performance. So I think it's way more important to study your craft, and your goal should be hopefully to not just be to play those one in a million disabled roles. It should be trying to, you know.
All the one in a million able-bodied roles you play.
Yeah.
Everyone dreams of having the grids and the glam of Hollywood, but that's not the case all the time. That's not the case. I mean, I know from my own personal experience with books that it's not going to take all the night success for all these people to become New York Times bestseller list, or it's not to be overnight success when your book gets turned into a movie, either.
No, for sure. Nowadays, you know, the way the industry is right now and the independent film industry, for sure, but has its own levels of finances within that. You can have like ultra low budget, and then independent just really means non-studio, so you can have high budget as well. But then even there are in your own local area things that you can do in order to get involved with the local film industry there. Like really anybody, I'm a screenwriter, so I don't really necessarily I'm a fan of these kind of short films that are just like done on the fly, but
okay.
it's a way to get some practice and to get some exposure.
That's something I was going to ask you, because I didn't realize up until today that independent doesn't necessarily have to be in a studio. Independent can be done anywhere with a high or low budget. I realize that. But why don't you like these independent short films? I live in Aspen, Colorado, and they happen to have an independent short film festival that goes on a week, I think. And the last time I was there, I didn't like any of the movies. So why is that?
I think that because anybody can make a movie. Anybody, as long as you have some sort of visual recording device nowadays. I mean, they have short films that are shot on cell phones. And so with that, that's great. Everybody has an opportunity to get their voice out there. But with that, you have to sort through a lot of lot of junk, to be honest. And I don't know, sometimes it's too easy to make a movie nowadays, and so they don't put the thought and the time into crafting a good story. And I mean, like I said, I'm a screenwriter, so I want to tell good stories. And a lot of times that's not necessarily the case. They're just like little one-liners or little jokes that are done. But I mean, that's not to say that there's not an audience for that or that there's anything wrong with that. It's just a personal taste. I don't watch YouTube videos, you know.
Nor do I. And people say, Lynn, why do you not watch YouTube videos? I don't like the cuddly cats or the cute puppies on YouTube.
Yeah.
give me strength. I mean, there's a lot of stories out there that need to be told. And for some weird reason, I don't necessarily think footing a bill if I was going to do it, I don't think necessarily footing a bill for an independent film is necessarily a good thing. I mean, I can get someone else to do it for me and help me raise the funds, but someone asked me today, as a matter of fact, they said, they messaged me on LinkedIn, and they said, give me your private email address. Turns out, if I wanted to do this, I would have to send my scripts, my manuscripts to them, and also pay a fee of $500. And I'm like, really? You are not... And so,
you have to be very careful. There's a lot of different things going on out there, for sure. There's a lot of different scams.
And it's really. And so if that doesn't work, I'm going to have a friend of mine do it, and we're going to raise the capital together. But that being said, so you are a screenwriter. So what is the deepest and hardest challenge of being a screenwriter? What is the hardest challenge of being a screenwriter?
Well, that's an excellent question, because there's different parts of everything that you like. For me, when I come up with a concept, it just seems like the muse just loves me and just wants to like unload all the ideas in me, and I just like, it's like a flood, and I just sometimes can't handle the creativity flowing through me. And then there's the point where you have to take all of that and actually put it onto paper. And screenwriting is a very structured form, where a novel, novels have their own form, but you can go off on little tangents and be much more internal with when you're doing some character development. You can have the characters actually, you know, thinking stuff. Where in a film, the only thing that can go on a page is what they will see or hear. So it's getting out exactly the character development and the character traits that you want without them speaking it or their feelings, like saying, I am angry. You can't. So that's where it becomes much more structured. But also then there is the actual structure of the film where, you know, things have to happen at a certain pace in order to keep the audience engaged. And whether you like the third act structure or different kinds of narratives can be nonlinear, there still is a structure to them. So that's where it becomes more of the craft. So it's when you go from the pure creativity to translating that into the craft that can be sometimes hard. But I mean, if that's hard, then bring it on, because I live a very blessed life being a screenwriter. That's the hardest thing I have to do.
Yep. So you're up for the challenge. And from a screenwriter's perspective, how do you feel about the movie Steve the movie Jobs, not Steve Jobs, but his movie that is coming out, I think it's already out. How do you feel that they portrayed that character?
Well, which film, sorry?
The movie Jobs.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know about it. But as far as like the career of a screenwriter and how that's portrayed, that is challenging. Very definitely. It's hard then once you have a script. Like sometimes I work on spec, which means that I'm just writing a screenplay on my own, and then I have to then find a producer or somebody to make the film for me or to finance it. But then other times I'm a writer for hire and somebody comes to me with an idea and then I'll write something around it. And I mean, that is preferable in some ways because you're making money while you're writing. But in other ways, you're translating somebody else's vision. And depending on how much creative license you're given, that can be its own challenge. But that's, again, like what we were saying earlier for the actors. As a screenwriter, it's a business as well. And I'm in this as a professional, so I have to know about the business and go out and meet people and network. And, you know, you never know where things are going to come from. I'm doing a job that's out of France, and I live in Vancouver. So you never know where the jobs are going to come from, and that's amazing. But
doing a movie out of France and you live in Vancouver, how cool is that, and what's the challenges with that? Because foreign translation challenges must be a factor in that.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. It's a rewrite that I'm doing, so they had an original script, and it was all in French. And the company is First Step, which they were the French co-producers on Les Miserables and Midnight in Paris. So they're a well-known production company in France. This is kind of their baby. I can't talk a lot about the premise, but they're very passionate about this. And they wanted to have international appeal. So they knew that they needed a rewrite, and they looked at some France writers and, you know, in North America. And just through different connections, I was one of them that submitted to the project, and I got chosen. And so they've translated the script from French to English, and now the conversations are really fascinating, the conference calls, because I'm speaking with one person in Paris and another person in LA, and then the original screenwriter is out of Florida. And the communication is it's a challenge for sure, but it's its own experience, which I'm very grateful for. And so I've done one draft, and we're going to be working on the second draft of the rewrite soon. And then, yeah, so then they translated back into French. So there's a lot of translating back and forth. But mostly it's the conversations on the phone. I mean, there's so many misunderstandings when you're speaking in English, let alone when you're speaking to somebody who's in French.
Yes. And does this film you're assisting with, does this film have women in it? I presume so.
Well, yeah, but I'm not. I don't feel there is a female character. I'm not of the belief that, even though when I do write, often my lead is a female protagonist, I don't believe that a female story needs to necessarily, as a female storyteller, I don't feel that all my stories have to be female driven. A majority of them are at this point, just because those are the stories in me. But this one in particular, I'm very passionate about. But it's about a male French historical figure. And I'm so grateful. Like, this is an amazing man that we're writing this film about. And I'm honored that this story has come to me. And I write multi-protagonist scripts. But I will say that my female characters are always layered, and that's something that you don't necessarily see in all films and definitely in Hollywood films that they have the complexity that the male characters necessarily have, or the number of female roles within the film. In the same way that I said, you know, it would be nice that if films started to show disabled people, not necessarily the story being about them being disabled. In the same way, women, obviously to a much minor degree, but, you know, often the doctors and the soldiers and are all men, when in reality there's a higher percentage of female soldiers than you would ever think by watching a movie about war.
Exactly.
So it's just that sort of perspective, I think, that, you know, bringing them. So I encourage disabled people to write their stories, to learn how to write a screenplay. You know, it is a craft that can be learned. Creativity, I don't necessarily think can be taught, but definitely the craft can. And so the reason I got into writing originally was because I was an actress and I was frustrated with the roles that I was going out for. They were always like prostitute number two or waitress number three. And so I started writing a film for myself to act in. And then I realized that actually I was a writer. I never really was an actor. So that's something that people can do.
So people, you began in the movie industry and in the play industry, or just movie industry as an actress, and then you decided to take it up one notch.
Yeah, I just, well, my background, I was originally a physics teacher in Alberta, and so when I moved out west, it was because I wanted to become a movie star. You know, when you live in small town wherever, you watch movies and you think the actors are the ones that made the movies. So I assumed that that's what I wanted to do. Yeah. And I did it for a few years, but even when I was taking acting classes, it was always about the characters that I wanted to talk about. And, you know, I was just as interested in the other people's roles as mine, and the story development and the themes explored. And so when I became frustrated and I'm like, well, you know what, I'm just going to write a film for myself. And I made it multi-protagonist so I could be surrounded by other great actors. And it didn't take very long for me to realize that that's actually what I always wanted to do. It's just I didn't know it. I didn't know it coming from, you know, not having a background in film. So the switch was a no-brainer to me. I don't miss acting at all. I don't think I ever really liked it, to be honest. But I don't think that they're higher or lower than each other. Like, actors are incredible and so generous, and they blow my mind what they're able to do.
And it's so funny because the women that come out of the woodwork, I'm amazed that these women have talent, and then they get the fuzzy end of lollipop. I'm amazed that women are still wanting to be in movies because they get the fuzzy end of lollipop. I mean, they, unless they request, I want to play a doctor, they'll get the women's role all the time.
Yeah, it's a complicated thing, and I mean, as you move up in with your experience, you're able to, you know, create your career to a level that perhaps when you're starting out you're not able to. So, you know, you can choose your roles and, you know, ask your agent to be put out for more, and even, you know, create relationships with filmmakers for them to write roles. But ultimately, we need more women in all levels. There's a pretty good, strong percentage of women in producing roles, but directing is dismal, for sure. So that's one thing. Yeah. You know, the more female directors we have, then more chances we're going to tell stories from a female perspective, whether that means all, you know, necessarily female characters, but definitely from a female perspective, will generate more female roles. It's just, it's what will happen. But it's, yeah, and we need more female cinematographers. We need more female in all roles. It's just important.
In all
we're 50% of the population.
In all aspects of it.
Yeah. And I think that the important thing, or one of the, you know, there's the side that, you know, we need more women in those roles because they want them and therefore they should have them. But then it's also, there's a cultural significance to it, because our young girls growing up and our young men growing up, when they're watching films and they're always seeing male doctors and male, like I said, I have a background, I'm a physicist, a former physics teacher. You're starting to see it more, but there was a time when you would only ever see men in the science roles. And, yeah, so it's good to see it's changing slowly, but it needs to be more for sure.
That's true. And why did you get completely off your new role? And why did you leave the education field?
I'm sorry?
Why did you leave the education field?
I don't know that I ever did, because I did come out west to pursue acting, and then I did that for a few years. And once I started writing, that's a much more, you know, your schedule is different. And a job came to me. I wasn't looking to go back into teaching, but a job came to me somehow that was to work with independent school, at an independent school for at-risk youth and young offenders. And so because of my past, which I talk about extensively in the book, I felt drawn to this job. So while I was writing on the weekends, I was teaching during the week. So I did that for 4 years, and then all the time writing. And then I started teaching part-time at another private education center, doing some physics and math, but also working with autistic children and dyslexic students as well. And so it's still a passion of mine, and I'm actually developing a TV series right now, which is based on a physics teacher. So I don't know that that's ever something you leave.
Good grief. The woman has pretty talent here. And I didn't realize you said, I fully talk about my past in a book. I didn't realize you had a book.
Yeah, my memoir is Chrysalis, A Dark and Delicious Diary of Emergence. That's my memoir. It's about my 39th year. I decided to journal my way through my 39th year before becoming 40. And what I thought was going to start out just as the year I became a woman, because I had come out of a couple of really hard years and I had bulimia and alcohol issues for decades, and promiscuity when I was young, and depression, so many problems. It was like, okay, I am so ready for a new beginning. But what happened that year was how I healed myself by facing my past and letting go of the shame and guilt. And it's very cathartic. It's a provocative book. It's raw and 100% honest. It is my diary, my actual diary of that year. And it's also about how I healed my relationship with men. And profound. I just celebrated my 1 year anniversary of the book. I released it a year ago, and it's really taking off now. So yeah, so again, the name of it is Chrysalis.
Is it self-published or is it traditionally published?
Well, I published with Balboa Press, which is a division of Hay House Publishing. So it's not self-published. I would call it a hybrid or an indie publish where they... Pardon?
Hybrid publishing.
Yeah, like a hybrid where, you know, you're involved definitely more than you would with a traditional publisher, but it is... you're not doing it yourself at all. You're just much more creatively involved. It would be like independent film, you know. Yeah. So I highly recommend it. It was a great way. I had interest from traditional publishers, but they said it wouldn't come out for 2 years, and they also wanted to change it from diary form to prose, and I wasn't interested in that. So it was just, like I said, I'm a screenwriter, not an aspiring author. So for me, it was about getting the book out because it's really meant to help people. That's 100%
yeah.
why I did it, was because
yeah.
I felt it would help people sharing
yeah.
my story.
Yeah. And so where could people find this book?
The book? Okay. So it's, of course, you can order it online, you know, Amazon,
yeah.
Barnes & Noble, if you live in Canada, Indigo. But it's also in bookstores in Barnes & Noble. And there's also, it's in some local bookstores, but you can also order it through Balboa Press. And that's all versions, ebooks, soft cover, hardcover. I have a website. It's RochelleChartrand.com, and you can connect with me on there. And I do blogs, and there's also a photo album that goes with the book, and lots of fun things that I've done and interviews. And then on Facebook, you can find me at Chrysalis, A Dark and Delicious Diary of Emergence, and I post lots of fun stuff there as well.
How cool is that? And what screenwriting realm, other than books, what has been your favorite project to work on?
As a screenwriter?
As a screenwriter.
Yeah. I would say, well, to be honest, right now what I'm working on, this TV series, I feel like is just blowing my mind. It's really going to be amazing, but I can't really say much about it. So I'll talk about this paranormal thriller that I recently did, which was as a writer for hire. And never in a million years did I think that that's the kind of movie I would write. I usually write comedic dramas, but this was the job, so I'm like, oh, I'll take it. Why not? And it's set in a castle, and they already had the location, so I actually would go to the castle and write the film from within it, like the set is already there, the props, etc. So it was a really interesting, creative thing. But I also ended up using my physics background as gives it a twist on the genre. It's really exciting. And so I'm excited for that one to be made. All of them. I've been so blessed because either it's a story that comes from me that is just needs to be born, needs to be told, or like I said, this project from France or this thriller that came to me. I'm very blessed with the projects that come to me. I'm also in very early development of a film that's set in Northwest Territories here in Canada about Treaty 11. So it's involving the First Nations here, and it's a historical drama as well. So, I mean,
how
I just
cool
feel so blessed that that project came to me.
How cool is that? And
yeah.
We were talking about women in film, and I know that the First Nations up along with the First Nations down here are very protective of their land and protective of their women. So how do they feel about you and you doing a film about them, speaking of women? I mean, geez, I have never seen so many women who are gracious and who are kind, and it's like, how do they feel about you doing that?
Oh, that's an excellent, excellent question. They're so generous, and they're so, I mean, like, obviously their history with white men coming up to tell their stories is they've been abused, obviously, physically and emotionally and spiritually, but also their stories have been abused. They've often had people come up and try and tell their stories and show all this interest and then do it inappropriately. So they're guarded at first. When I went up there, it's the Dene in Northwest Territories. And my producer has some relationships up there, but when I went to Yellowknife and the area to do research, you know, I had to prove myself, and but like I said, they're very generous. And
I bet you did.
Yeah.
I can only imagine.
And it's just starting. Like, it's just starting. You know, we're creating a relationship, and we're involving them in the story telling as much as possible. We've met a few filmmakers, and we want to tell their story. I worked with a lot of First Nations youth when I worked at the independent school, so it's a passion of mine, and I've always wanted to somehow be involved with helping them tell their stories. Not that they need my help, I just think that I have this passion as well, so let's team up together and tell as well-rounded of a story as possible. And it's it's in the same way that a woman doesn't have to tell only women's stories. I don't need necessarily know that a certain culture is the only one that can tell a certain culture's story. I think that that's important that they do, but I think it's, you know, it can be done as a team as well.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so other than screenwriting and other than writing books, to say, what is your favorite thing to do?
Yoga. I love yoga. I'm very passionate about it. I got into it as a physical thing when I was suffering from bulimia. I was looking for some sort of exercise that I could just do with the lowest energy output possible. So at the beginning when I got into yoga, it was purely for the physical reasons. And then as my practice evolved, it became the more body-mind connection. And then now I'm at a point where I'm able to, it's the body, mind, and spiritual connection. So I'm passionate about my own practice, but I also like to talk about it with other people and their practices and their experiences. So that goes along with meditation as well. And physics, I'm still very, very fascinated by physics, quantum physics. I do lots of studying and watching TED Talks and all of that. And I live in the most beautiful city in the world, so I'm very grateful that I'm able to enjoy the ocean and the mountains, and I hike and walk the beach every day and hang out with friends on patios. I live a very full life. I'm very, very blessed.
Now, do you think you'll ever do a movie based on physics, or do you think you'll ever do a movie based on yoga?
Well, like I said, I think more the based on physics is, well, there is this TV series I'm doing that it's about a physics teacher, and there is really going to be a lot of physics in it. And the, like I said, the paranormal thriller has this scientific and it's specifically physics twist on it. So I think that this is something unique, at least right now, that I have to offer, that this background that I'm finding when I am able to infuse it in my storytelling, it makes it uniquely my own at this point. I love it. As far as yoga, I don't know. Yoga is a very, like I said, it's a very personal thing, even though I'm exploring now the societal or the community that yoga provides. But for the first decade, I did it all on my own. So I don't know how that will come in. It definitely plays a part in my book, a huge part. So if I ever make a movie out of my book, definitely yoga will be a part of it, as will physics. Yeah.
Oh, boy. So we've got many, many components to your book and many, many components to your movie. And, of course, you wouldn't let anyone else do the screenwriting for your movie, would you?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that? I wouldn't
you
want what?
You wouldn't let anyone else, if someone approached you about a movie, you would say that you would have to be filling the role.
But for my book?
Yes.
Yeah, well, you know, that's interesting because I've battled with it because, I mean, I could just go ahead and write a screenplay for my book, but there's a part of me that thinks that perhaps somebody else should write it or at least co-write it, because when I start the year, when I start writing my book, at the outset, in the introduction, I promised to be 100% honest. And so whatever came up that year is in the book, 100% honest. And there's some things, like I reveal secrets that I never thought I would reveal, and I go to some really dark places and talk about things that are uncomfortable, you know, some sexual abuse from my past and, you know, different things that I did as well that I'm not really proud of, but it was all part of the healing process. So now, like I said earlier, a book, a novel, is a different structure than a film. And whenever somebody adapts a book into a film, they have to let things go. And I don't know if necessarily me by myself, I would know... I don't know. I'm still debating because my book is 360 pages. Like, I would need to let go of some storylines, and that's just the nature of going from an adaptation from a novel to a movie. So I don't know. We'll see. But well, there's elements of my book in all my work.
Well, that's very interesting that you infused your life in your work, even if it's working with other people.
Yeah, I think that's the important thing. I worked from January to June. All I was doing was writing and not having much of a life, and I kind of felt like my well was dry. And so you need to go out and experience life, because as a writer, that's what you're drawing into your work. So I think that if you talk to any screenwriter, they'll say that, you know, there is all of the creativity part, but you just don't even know the people that you meet, and, you know, you're combining people that you meet, but you also put actual experiences in there. You even, like, lines of dialogue, you know, sometimes you just can't make this stuff up. It's just so wonderful what you witness in life and what you experience in life. So I think any artist, for sure, writer, will take their own life experiences, either personal experiences or things that they've witnessed, and it goes into their work. I think that's what makes work real and authentic.
I definitely agree with you on my own book. I'm taking my real life experiences and turning them into books. So I definitely agree with you on that aspect.
Are your books fiction, or they're all based on your life?
One is my autobiography, and then I have three young adult novels out right now, and I'm going to be working on my fourth young adult novel, and I am going to be working on my kids' book.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, even in those, you draw from your own life experience.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Even in those, you draw from your own life experiences. But so many people want me to turn my own book into a movie. I just haven't taken the plunge to do it yet.
I'm a believer of timing as well, and when the time comes, you'll meet the right people. And
as we talked about, you have to adapt the book to the movie, and I don't want to do that, and I don't want to pull stuff out of my memoir. That's the goddamn truth. I don't want to necessarily pull stuff out of my memoir. So maybe. One of the days I will take the plunge. But I appreciate the time, and I appreciate your wisdom on women in film, and I appreciate all my listeners. And I'm just totally tickled to think that we were able to have this conversation today.
Oh, so am I. I'm so grateful. Thank you so much for having me win on this show. It's such an honor.
And I appreciate everyone's support for Wins Women of Wisdom. And I hope that you turn in to another fabulous episode. We have another episode coming up in October. I'm not revealing that quite yet, but I hope you guys share and support the fabulous episodes. Thanks, you guys.